Welcome to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Episode number 29. Spring comes relatively early here in Tokyo, and a recent trip to one of the local parks reminded me of this. I'm going to talk about a couple of photos that I took during that trip in a short while, but I was also reminded this week of the need to stay healthy. Without your health, no amount of camera equipment and enthusiasm will get you photos. Please allow me to talk about a non-photography related subject just for a while. Nothing to worry about, but since last speaking to you, I've had my gallbladder removed. I've had gallstones for years, and although they sometimes gave me pain, I learned how to live with them and avoid having attacks. But about a month ago, just over a month ago, I had a totally unprovoked attack during the day, as opposed to the night time when the attacks usually came. And it lasted for a couple of full days. So I was now carrying around an unexploded bomb, basically, and I had to take a load of medicine with me on the Hokkaido tour so that I didn't cause problems for the other members if I did have an attack. But nothing happened. I was just starting to get worried now that I didn't know when the next serious attack would happen. So I decided to... it was time to have surgery, and as soon as I came back, we completed the remaining tests that were necessary, and on Thursday, we got rid of the gallbladder once and for all. It was keyhole surgery, so, you know, pretty simple surgery to get over. The first 24 hours or so was a bit tough, but I felt fine after that. And I was discharged from the hospital yesterday morning on Sunday the 19th of March. Now, the reason that I wanted to mention this here is that I still have some pain from the holes. I've got four holes in my abdomen, and I'll not be able to lift things or crouch in low positions for a while, so I'm going to be struggling to carry around my heavy camera bag and get down low enough to shoot bugs and things for the next few weeks. In my case, this has been a pretty much controlled experience. I planned when we were going to have the surgery, although I was kind of rushed into the decision by the unexploded bomb. But, you know, I'll be over it in a few weeks' time. But this has made me think even more now that without our health, we are nothing, basically. We could not only find it difficult to get out and about enjoying our amazing hobby or profession, but... We couldn't keep down a full-time day job even, we'd have no money coming in to pay for our toys either. Also, in the hospital, I was surrounded by scores of people having serious operations, removing malignant growths or other operations for various serious and sometimes fatal illnesses, and they were experiencing pain and indignity that I could not imagine. We'll get to photography in a moment, but I just felt that I wanted to say that I felt so humbled to have, in general, my health and to be able to lead a normal, active life. I, for one, will be paying a little more attention to my health from now on and hope that you guys will all stay healthy and active too. Well, moving on, spring is in the air. That's the title of today's podcast. Although I have something that I like about all the seasons, spring just seems to bring so much to us and just seems so full of happiness. Actually, allow me to just do a little bit more reflecting before we look at today's real-world example images. I recall speaking to the elderly lady that runs the inn at which I stayed when I went to shoot the beautiful houses in the Shirakawa-go village last December. You remember I did the podcast called Winter Photography, which was episode 17. The Shirakawa-go village is locked in snow for almost half of the year, with spring not really arriving until the end of April or early May. And the lady spoke of its arrival with such passion and yearning. She showed us a photograph of her cottage in spring and pointed to the narcissus or daffodil shoots coming through the patches of snow at the edge of the paddy field. This is the first real sure sign that spring is on the way. She also spoke of how easy life is getting for the city folk. Even if we have harsh winters, we have gas or electric heating to make life easier. In the village, there are power cuts almost nightly due to the snow bringing down power lines somewhere, meaning that electricity is just not reliable. The trucks that bring the gas in have to deliver the gas in cylinders because the pipes, the village is too remote to run pipes to. So they have cylinders of gas that they use, and the trucks that bring these in can't get through for certain parts of the year, through the very harsh parts of the winter. There are restrictions on wood cutting because the area is now a registered UNESCO World Cultural Heritage Site. So just keeping warm is a task. The trucks that bring the food to the village also have the same problems. So even the convenience stores, for example, are not so convenient. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that winter can be a serious thing for many people, and the arrival of spring is so much more than just getting excited about new photo opportunities it brings. Okay, so having rambled on about my surgery and now the arrival of spring for all this time, I'd like to take a look at a number of images I made the weekend before I went into hospital. I took a trip to the Shinjuku Gyoen Park here in Tokyo. As this time of the year, there are usually a number of Japanese white-eye birds, such as the ones the one in the image that I mentioned in episode 24 of this podcast on teleconverters. These birds often visit a type of tree called a kanzakura. I've never been able to find out an exact English translation of the name of this tree. Kan is the character for cold, and zakura or sakura means the cherry blossom. So basically it's a type of cherry blossom that blooms just a little earlier than the other types. And for me, this tree is what signifies spring finally arriving. And for me, I would say I'm thinking more from a photographic perspective, because things really start to come to life at this time of year. So that's really what sparked me talking about the beginning of spring and everything. Anyhow, the Japanese white eyes didn't appear. I was with my wife too, so I couldn't keep her waiting for the entire afternoon, and I'd already got a number of decent shots of these birds from previous years, so I closed in on the cherry blossom flowers, the actual flowers themselves, and I shot image number 941. This was shot at f4 for 500th of a second at ISO 200 with my 100mm macro lens. I'd raised the ISO a little to get a faster shutter speed, as it was quite windy on this day, and although I was trying to shoot while the blossom was stationary, it was literally going all over the place, and I wanted to freeze any motion. I chose f4 as I wanted to accentuate the stamen of the flowers and their shadows falling on the pale petals. I also had chosen quite a busy part of the branch to shoot. In fact, although I usually try to single out flowers, these kanzakura trees in full bloom are pretty busy all round. There's lots of flowers on the branches. So it's necessary to a certain extent to make the most of all that business. I found a spot with one nice flower fully visible, though with lots happening around it, but that had a relative lack of busyness to the right of the frame, which is why I think this particular shot works quite well. You can see that the f4 aperture at this distance gave me a depth of field shallow enough to throw the nearest and farthest points of this particular blossom out of focus, as I said, to accentuate the stamen and their shadows. But it is enough to allow a few other parts of the busyness to catch our eyes. In addition to this, the furthest flowers in the frame are reduced to just blotches of colour, stopping them from detracting from the main subject any more than necessary. Now, the funny thing here is that I had just got my tripod and camera in position to shoot this image, and a pair of Japanese white-eyed birds showed up in the tree above me. My wife was telling me, they're here, but I decided that I wanted to continue and get this one down. By the time I'd exposed a few frames and came up for air, the white eyes had gone. I'll just have to try and make it back there in a week or so, once I can carry around my heavy gear again. They'll be back, at least they'll be back next year anyway, so all is not lost. So let's move on to another shot from this day, which is shot number 942. Another blossom shot, this time the flower of the Japanese apricot tree. This blossom is often either a very pale pink or white, such as in this shot, or a very bright pink. The pinker, it's actually going to be pinker than the Kanzakura blossom that we just looked at. For this shot, I once again used an aperture of f4, but I also used a Canon EF 25-2, Roman numerals 2, extension tube that I picked up recently. I've owned a 12mm extension tube for some time now, but I decided I'd also give the 25mm a try, and for this shot, it was coupled again with my 100mm macro lens. You can see from this shot that the depth of field is markedly shallower than at the same aperture than the last shot. Sure, you know, I'm a little closer to the flower as well than the last shot, but still, I think you'll appreciate how quickly the focus drops off behind the flower. I was still at ISO 200 to maintain a certain amount of shutter speed as the wind was still shaking the flowers around it, and it was also nearing the end of the day. So the shutter speed was now down to 1/160th of a second. With regards to the artistic decisions I made with this shot, firstly, I chose some blossom that was backlit by the low sun to enhance that dreamy feel that you can play with so well with wide apertures and shallow depth of field. I also chose to overexpose slightly to enhance that effect even more. To push the exposure as far as I could, I took a guess at my first exposure based on my camera's meter reading, and then I started to slow down the shutter speed in a third of a stop in increments, checking the histogram and the exposure warning on the LCD. Once you start to overexpose the whites, you'll see a spike right up on against the right-hand edge of the histogram. And you'll also see areas of the actual image that flash black intermittently. This warning is telling you that there are areas of your shot that are either totally blown out with no detail at all, or they're close to that. So, you know, if they're just little areas and, you know, small areas of the shot that are flashing, and you're looking for a high key shot, then that's about when you want to stop increasing the exposure. If I recall correctly, I exposed this at +2/3 of a stop, and I was seeing just a very small amount of flashing on the petal that's hanging over the top left of the frame. This was exactly what I wanted in this case. The other decision that I made was to focus on the rightmost petal, the edge of the rightmost petal, on the left-hand side flower. I did this because I wanted the line between the two flowers to be as distinct as possible. Had I focused anywhere else with this depth of field, this line would have become more blurred and the two flowers would have started to merge together, even if just a little. The last decision was to crop tightly with the left flower in the top third and the right flower towards the bottom third of the frame. Overall, I think it works quite well. I got the dreamy effect that I like, and the shot came out pretty well balanced, I think. Well, to finish, let's take a look at an image that I made on the way out of the Shinjuku Gyoen Park, which is number 944. Many of the parks in Tokyo close at an incredibly early hour. There's still well over 90 minutes of daylight left at this time of the year, and they insist on kicking you out at 4:30. On this particular day, as we hurried towards the gates, there was hordes of people moving towards the gates, and this crow came hopping out of a wooded area onto the lawn and was regarding us as we passed by, almost as though making sure we were actually all going to leave, giving him back his park for the rest of the day until the following morning. You know, crows, they get pretty bad press in most parts of the world, but I quite like them. I was attacked by a nesting pair once for returning to the foot of their tree to look at a grub. I was wondering whether or not to get a photo of it, but you know, they must have thought I was in some way threatening them, and they both swooped down and dug their claws into my head as I walked off, which was a little bit unnerving, but you know, in general, I quite like crows. Most crows here in Tokyo are this type, which is the large beak type known as a jungle crow, as opposed to the carrion crow with a narrower beak that you find in, at least back in the UK, in most of the areas that I can recall. Technically, this is not a challenging shot. I had to overexpose by 2/3 of a stop due to the bright colour of the grass, and I wanted to keep the black crow from going totally black and losing any detail. And for the suspicious among you, no, I was not simply using the same settings as the previous shot. I'd photographed a little bit more around the park before, you know, after the last shot that I showed you, and I'd switched back from manual to aperture priority mode. The ISO was now 640, and I was using an aperture of f5.6 for 1/800th of a second. I was now also using my 100 to 400 millimeter lens as opposed to the 100 millimeter macro. And that's about it for this show. It's not been a very in-depth show. I hope you can appreciate that I've not a lot of time to prepare. But I did, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, spring is on the way. We've got a lot of opportunities coming. I'm sure we're all going to have a lot of fun getting out there shooting the various, you know, there's going to be lots of flowers, insects, lots of natural things. And plus, it's just a great time of year for photographing anything, no matter what. You know that I prefer nature, wildlife to most other genres, but you know, it's just a great time of year for getting out there and shooting just about anything. Probably not winter scenes, but you know what I mean. If you shoot portraits, sports photography, no matter what you shoot, it's a great time of year. We get lots of nice clear skies. I guess I'm thinking Northern Hemisphere. So the guys in all of you guys in the Southern Hemisphere are probably not going to be. I think you're into your fall now, so it's a good time of year for you too, I guess. Tell you what, I'm starting to ramble a little bit again. So I really want to just say, you know, quickly before we do close, no worries about, I hope I haven't upset or alarmed any of you about the surgery. I am fine. And, you know, I think that, you know, I tried to gain from all experiences in life, and I believe that I'll gain from this one too, and in more ways than just getting rid of those painful little gallstones. And finally, I'd like to thank those of you that have taken the time to complete the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast listeners survey, but the percentage of completed surveys is still pretty low compared to the number of downloads that we're seeing. So I really would just like to say, if you appreciate what I'm doing here and would like to help me to keep on producing the show, please complete the listeners survey. You can find a small link in the small podcast section at the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, or there's a larger link on the podcast page. I've also posted an announcement in the forum about this with a link, so I'll put a link to that post in the show notes. It doesn't matter how long you've been listening to the show or how frequent a listener you are. Thanks in advance for taking the time to complete the survey. Have a great week. Keep on shooting. Bye-bye.